This podcast is for information only and should not be considered legal advice. There is no representation that the legal services to be performed by LOCA are better than the services of other attorneys. There is no guarantee of the outcome. Success is rendered on a case-by-case basis. Welcome back, everybody. This is Tim Markley from K. Altman Law, and you are listening to the Legally Blind Justice Podcast. At K. Altman Law, we talk to hundreds of people who discovered that what they thought was not a big deal is often a life-altering event. Students who thought they could work it out with their schools are facing expulsion, suspension, or even probation. In this podcast, we discuss those issues, tell you where to find help, and explain how the system works. Today, we're addressing a growing concern for online students. We're finding that many students are being accused of using a third party to submit their work. And with the surge in online learning, colleges and universities are intensifying their efforts to verify authenticity. But what happens is innocent students get caught up in the crossfire. So imagine being wrongly accused of academic misconduct. It can be overwhelming and leave you wondering about the impact on your academic record and future. But you're not alone, and there are steps that you can take to clear your name. Universities have protocols, even online universities, for handling allegations of academic dishonesty. But sometimes students feel like they're being presumed guilty until proven innocent. Remember, you've got a right to defend yourself against these false accusations. Now, one of the most common ways that we're seeing schools deal with this is by tracking your IP address. But there's a catch. That's not a foolproof method. Factors like shared networks, VPNs, or technical glitches can often lead to inaccurate conclusions. So let's take a close look at these issues related to your IP address as a check against cheating. Now, your IP address is often used to tie you to a specific location. And universities use certain methods to monitor your activities and try to pinpoint your exact location. They want to do this because they're tying you to your home location as a way to check against somebody else submitting your work. But let's look at this first. What is that IP address? Well, that IP address, which is Internet Protocol address, reveals a general location, like a city or state, but it's not a specific address. And in many cases, multiple users can be assigned the same IP address, especially on a college campus where many users connect to the internet through their single network. This makes it difficult to attribute specific actions to individual users accurately. Another factor to consider is that with the increasing use of mobile devices, students may not always be connected to the internet through their college network, which makes it impossible to track their activities by IP address alone. And even when IP addresses can be tracked, they may only provide a limited information, such as the general location of the user. This may not be sufficient to identify a specific individual engaging in a cheating behavior. Also, we're seeing the rise of virtual private networks, or VPNs, and they're becoming commonplace way that internet users protect their own data and information. And so a student using a VPN to mask their address can appear in an entirely different location. Many internet service providers assign dynamic IP addresses to their users, meaning that the IP address can change each time the user connects to the internet. This is another challenge to tracking users over time. One of the things that we're seeing a lot of is that students travel. We have worked with traveling nurses who are in multiple locations throughout the course of a year. And they're being charged with using a third-party person to submit their work when in reality, they're on the road. So they're truck drivers, traveling nurses, and other professionals. They're being wrongly accused of cheating because their IP address has changed to multiple different locations because of their work. We're also seeing issues that you may be using public Wi-Fi in a location other than your actual residence. When traveling, finding a Wi-Fi location can be a challenge. You may be dropping into a coffee shop, a library, and this can cause the IP address to be different than your typical work location. We love technology, but we see a lot of fluctuations in software malfunctions that lead to misinformation. We love computers, but these technical glitches can cause you real issues, particularly when they're using your IP address as a location check. We also find that there's multiple devices within the same household. There are shared devices, and the student may be using a family member's device for an exam, and it might be in an unexpected location. We've even seen some issues related to time zones. Students in different time zones take exams at significantly different hours, and an unexpected login from a specific location during an unusual time can raise a red flag, despite the student adhering to their designated exam times. So this IP address is a way that universities can check on your location, but it is not foolproof, and it doesn't take into account a lot of those day-to-day lifetime activities, such as travel, vacations, and other factors that could create an entirely different IP address than where the university thinks you should be. So if you've been accused of this third-party submission, how do you fight back? Well, it's important to be proactive and address the situation promptly. You might even need an attorney. So by following these steps and presenting your case effectively, we think you can increase your chances of a fair resolution. First and foremost, seek help. The college rules, particularly for online schools, are obscure and complex. You should have someone to assist you. This could be an attorney, an outside advisor, or another trusted individual. They can provide an objective view of what you're facing and provide you with some impartial advice for how to proceed. Contact the instructor or the academic integrity office as soon as possible and request a meeting. Explain that you are innocent and you want to resolve this matter quickly. Be polite and respectable, but firm and confident. Gather all the information that supports your claims. This may include your original works, drafts, notes, sources, feedback, email, screenshots, anything that can prove you did the work by yourself and did not use a third party. If you're traveling, collect your traveling records that show that, look, I was here and I was here. So organize your evidence in a clear, logical manner, and then make copies for yourself and the instructor or the academic integrity office. I encourage you to prepare a written statement. This is a written oral explanation of how you completed the assignments and why you're not guilty of using a third party. By writing it down, it forces you to put things in a logical sequence. And I encourage you to use specific examples, details from the evidence. Avoid emotional or aggressive language. Focus on the facts. Anticipate any questions or counter arguments that the instructor may have. And by writing it down, you prepare yourself to be able to respond to these questions. Attend whatever meeting is required. Be punctual, professional, courteous. Listen carefully to the instructor or the academic integrity office and answer their questions honestly and calmly. Again, provide your evidence in a defensive statement. Explain how they demonstrate your innocence. Ask for clarification or confirmation if needed. Then thank the person you're talking to for their time and attention. Follow up and appeal that if necessary. After the meeting, send a thank you note to the instructor. Restate your main points. Keep a record of all communications and documents related to the case, but don't keep them on university servers, because if you're ever cut off from those, you're going to lose access to that information. Check your handbook and your code of conduct for the appeals process. Submit those letters and appeals and explain why you disagree with the decision. I would suggest talking to an outside advisor. And I suggest that you may consider looking at an attorney. And that attorney is dedicated to ensuring that every student receives support. I want to thank you for being here, discussing this topic. I'm sure this will not be the last time we discuss online universities. And if you're accused of using a third party to submit work or accused of some other violation at the college, reach out to us here at K. Ottman Law for professional advice. Remember, the school or university has complex rules, policies, and procedures to govern what's going on. They also have a legal staff to advise them, and you should as well. You need experienced help to get the results you need. So trust a firm such as K. Ottman Law to guide you through that legal minefield and get you the results that you want. Thank you again for listening to the Legally Blind Justice Podcast. If you have a question, give us a call at 1-516-788-8963 or check us out on the web at kottmanlaw.com.